Rudimentary Mount Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, text number 17. Is that right? Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam.
Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam.
Kudyan Ashtam Chayanaso.
Kudyan Ashtam Chayanaso.
Tasyarte Yachano Nita.
Tasyarte Yachano Nita.
Uttama Shloka Vartaya.
Uttama Shloka Vartaya.
Ayur Harati Vai. Ayur.
Ayur.
Duration of life.
Duration of life.
Harati.
Harati.
Decreases.
Decreases.
By.
By.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of the people.
Of the people.
Udyan.
Udyan.
Rising.
Rising.
Astam.
Astam.
Setting.
Setting.
Cha.
Also.
Yang.
Yang.
Moving.
Moving.
Aso.
Aso.
The sun.
The sun.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Of one who glorifies the Lord.
Of one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite.
Rite.
Except.
Except.
Yat.
Yat.
By whom.
By whom.
Janaha.
Janaha.
The time.
Time.
Nitaha.
Nitaha.
Utilized.
Utilized.
Uttama Shloka.
Uttama Shloka.
The all good personality of Godhead.
The all good personality of Godhead.
Vartaya.
Vartaya.
In the topics of.
In the topics of.
Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. Except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Purport. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord, through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavours in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear by the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization, just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization, for a moment, in the association of pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami, prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus, the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. The materialistic way of pious activities, like charity, is recommended in the Smriti Shastras, as quoted by Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a brahmana. If the money is given in charity to a non-brahmana, without brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If it is given in charity to a half-educated brahmana, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified brahmana, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Savair Aham Eva Vidyaha. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Madham Gatva Punajanmana Vidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya
Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurunditam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svaya Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavadantikam Muktam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamam Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
This is a quite a famous verse, this one, and the following verses. Text 24. So what are we? 17. Next 7 verses. Very instructive. And basically the point is don't waste time. Don't waste time. Take advantage of Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Prabhupada would quote this Vedic aphorism from the Vedanta Sutra. Now you've got the human form of life, use it for what its purpose is, its actual purpose. What does Prabhupada say here? Utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. This is the purpose. To know the science of life. The science of life. So what are the basic... What's the basic principle of the science of life being described here in this verse? What's that? Yes. Maybe. Not the one that I'm thinking of. It is for the devotees, yes. We should use our time to discuss the topics about Krishna. But fundamental, just a fundamental material principle that's being described here.
We're getting old and we're dying.
Right? We're getting old and we're dying. Which is, you know, a fundamental principle of the science of life, and it's presented. Where is this information presented? The basic principles of the science of life. Bhagavad Gita, yeah. Dehinosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dehantara prapti diras tatra namuyati. Changing bodies. You know, that we're changing bodies. And that we are losing time. Especially in the human form of life, we're losing time. It's been taken away from us. So Prabhupada was in Mauritius giving a class, and one young boy, 22, he said, "I don't understand reincarnation. Is it, do we take another body? You know, how do we know we take another body?" So, Srila Prabhupada asked him, well, actually, no, Prabhupada said, you have to understand that your basically changing bodies, that you had a body before in the past, and that body has died. You know, we think we're living, but we think we're living. But actually, the Vedic interpretation is, no, you're not living, you're dying. Because we don't think we're dying. Huh? It's considered to be morbid to think about dying, death and dying.
Every moment death is coming closer.
That's right. You can probably tell us about it. That's a very good example of taking advantage of the human form of life and hearing, what is it? Uttama shloka vartaya. Very important. Most people think they're living. And they don't want to think about death. And Prabhupada explains that here. Why? Because we want to enjoy our original form is Satchidananda, which means, you know, spiritual form. And in the spiritual form, we enjoy Prabhupada's aphorism, Ananda Maya Abhyasat, we're pleasure seekers. Nobody goes out of their way to suffer. Huh? Although we're foolishly pursuing pleasure in the material world, but the pleasure in the material world is limited and temporary, and it always brings about suffering. Yet we think this is a great place. I'm happy. I'm lucky to be alive. Lucky to be, you know, in the spring, especially at springtime now. You know, and the sun's shining, and we get up and we think, oh, beautiful. Huh? Actually, there was a song by the Young Rascals. It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go for a walk outside. That's the opening lines of the song. So we think, oh, wonderful, I can enjoy. Huh? Sun's shining. We can have fun. Go down the beach and go for a swim. But you know, when you get old, that's when you're young, you think, yeah, let's go. The end of your life, for us with fair skin, you know, you get skin cancer. The sun drilling into your head rearranges the molecules. If you've got a brown body, then you're lucky, you don't have to worry about it. But you know, the white people go down the beach to get brown. Isn't that silly? But it brings about suffering. Okay, there may be some pleasure in the material world, but Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that pleasure is actually the enemy of the living entity, because it becomes attached to it. But it's limited and temporary. And the point is that we're not living, we're actually dying. So Prabhupada was explaining to this young man. Where is your childhood body? It's dead. You know, where is your, you know, where's your baby body? It's gone. You know, as one gets older, then the baby body, the childhood body, the youthful body, the middle-aged body, they all have gone. So we're given a limited amount of time. This is the science of the life. Actually, it was the first time that I heard Prabhupada say that yesterday. I was listening to this class. And Prabhupada talks about the science of life. The science of life is that you're dying. Ayur harati vai pum sam. Ayur means
the duration of life, or it means life itself. Just like we have the Ayurveda. Ayurveda is really the science of prolonging life. Right? Ayurveda is for prolonging life, but it's inevitable that we have to die. And that we're losing, we're allotted a certain amount of time in which to live. And it's been taken away from us. And each moment, as Prabhupada points out, each moment that's taken, you can't get it back. And in the human form of life, it is so valuable. Yet we waste it. Pursuing the pleasures that are available for the animals. The real purpose of human life is not to pursue sense gratification, but rather to perform austerities. It's mentioned in Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes that he depleted the residue of his good karma by enjoying life, by being comfortable and pursuing his duties as a king, as the emperor of the whole universe, practically speaking. The son of Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj. And he depleted the reactions of his impious activities by performing austerities. This is a good example for a devotee. Of course, the kind of austerities that we perform, you know, not sitting on ice blocks and, you know, sitting in the sun, and not that kind of austerity, but our austerities are recommended here. Uttama shloka vataya, one should follow the path of the devotional discipline, the devotional line of the previous acharyas. That is anukirtanam, or hearing and chanting. And, you know, the point is that, very important point, is that we may pursue material pursuits, but whatever we accumulate from the material perspective, on the material platform, will be taken away from us at the time of death. Prabhupada makes the point. You have to be 100% successful in material activities in order to be able to enjoy the benefits. But even then, it's taken away at the time of death. Right? We like to put money in our bank accounts. Right? We like to see money going into our bank account and increasing. We don't like to see it decreasing. It's depressing. But at the time of death, that money's completely taken away from us. You can have a big bank account, but it won't make your life any longer. Right? Prabhupada gives the example of his friend in Allahabad, wealthy friend who was dying, and he was begging with the doctors, just give me 4 more years and then I can finish off my plans. I'll pay you any money, any amount of money you want. This is Prabhupada's example. I'll give you any amount of money you want, but please give me more life. I mean, you can pay the doctor as much money as you like. Well, he won't mind. Right. He won't mind. You'll be dead. And he'll have your money. He's 100% successful. And you're 100% unsuccessful. So this is an important point. That material activities are depleted by the rising and the setting of the sun. Udyam astam. Chayana sov. So udyam means rising. In Bengali it's udaya, right? Or udilo, same word, udilo aruna. There's that song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Udilo aruna purababhage dvijamani gora amani jage,
isn't it? The sun is rising in the east and the jewel of the twice born. Dvijamani, right? Dvija means twice born. Money means the jewel. Dvijamani.
Gora, Lord Chaitanya. Udaya,
here, Udyam, rising, and Astam, setting.
Yan Asol, the moving of the sun.
So it robs us. Time, Krishna says, time I am the destroyer of all worlds, right? What Arjuna saw, all of the soldiers on the battlefield being crushed in the teeth of the universal form. So, you know, time is the destroyer. Krishna says, I am that time. So for material activities, for material pursuits, activities are destined to be destroyed. The body is destined to be destroyed. So best to take advantage of it for its real, you know, the science of life means to understand, you know, from the materialistic point of view, people are focused on the body, the movements of the bodies. But from the spiritual perspective, the transcendentalist is focused on the spirit soul, which is actually moving the body. The most important aspect of the body is the spirit soul, even though we can't see it. Because without the spirit soul being present in the body, then what have you got? You've just got a dead body. And it doesn't matter what you do to it. You can shock it, put in chemicals, do so many things, shake it, pull it, whatever. But you can't bring it back to life. So from the spiritual, from the materialist perspective, everybody's looking at the body. You know, so-and-so lost such amount of weight. This actress or this actor is putting on weight, right? You know, in the Who Weekly. Right? They like to put pictures of famous film stars in their bikinis. Right? Just to look at the body. Oh, look, she's getting fat. What does she look like after she's had her third baby? Huh? Just interested in the body. Without realizing that there's, you know, who they are. This is the real problem. There's no spiritual focus, there's just a material focus. And, you know, to meditate on these things is considered morbid. Oh, why worry about death? Why worry about these things? It's too scary. But the Bhagavad Gita is saying, yes, we should, you know, really analyze these things from the proper perspective and utilize the time not for accumulating things which are ultimately going to be destroyed and taken away from us, but rather concentrate on cultivation of spiritual life which can't be robbed by time. Basically, time is the robber. It takes away our life energy and our life force. So use that life energy and that life force for acquiring something which can't be taken away from us. Right? So that's why Prabhupada says, you know, don't waste time. What's that? There's that recording in one of Krishna Prem's songs. You know, it's kind of got a hip hop kind of a beat. And Prabhupada says, don't waste time. Don't talk nonsense. Don't waste time, don't talk nonsense.
Don't talk much.
Huh?
Don't talk much.
No, he says don't talk nonsense.
Yeah, I've got that recording.
Yeah. Don't talk nonsense. You know, and that's just the half of it. Nonsense. Talk nonsense, think nonsense, do nonsense. This is the importance of association that Prabhupada talks about. Many things. This purport has so much in it when you think about it. So we're looking in the wrong place for happiness. We should look in the right place for happiness. That means going into the association of the devotees, we get an opportunity to realize where our true happiness lies. Not in the pursuit of material things that ultimately make us unhappy. You know, the promise is always there. Maya is always promising us, come and enjoy. But every pursuit of enjoyment in the material world is frustrated. So, in the association of the devotees, we can understand where our real happiness lies. It lies in uncovering our spiritual identity. Satchit Ananda Vigraha, that's our original position. And what is it? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabu Noi Savanadi Sudha Chitte Karaye Udoi. There's that word, Udoi, again. Our Krishna Prem is our natural state of being, but we're currently covered over by this material, by the material covering, and we can purify that out. We can purify our consciousness so that we can see our spiritual identity, cheto dapana marjanam, by purifying the heart, cleansing the mirror of the mind through the hearing and chanting process, through the process of sankirtan. So we do that in the association of the devotees. We're introduced to that in the association of the devotees. We perfect the art of bhajan, if you like, or of devotional service. As your Prabhupada says here, the Lord is the complete spiritual whole. We are a little spiritual spark. The Lord is the complete whole. Fully spiritual. When we come into association with any one of the energies of the Lord, His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes, entourage and personality. When we come into contact with the Lord in those features, and it's interesting, Prabhupada says here, through the proper channel of devotional service. That means, you know, through the association of the devotees. And by following the process, the recommended process, Prabhupada says it's scientific. You can't create your own process of devotional service. One has to follow the recommended process. Who do we follow? Who do we follow? Prabhupada. Yeah. Who does Prabhupada follow? Narad Muni. Who specifically are we following? We're Rupa Nugas. We follow Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami gives us the details. Prabhupada translated the Nectar of Instruction. Very simple instructions. Also the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. All of the principles of devotional service are outlined in these books. So this is the authorized process of devotional service. If we follow that, then we're guaranteed to achieve success. If we don't follow it, what happens?
Come back.
Yeah, what else happens?
You make a part of the end of the
material. Yeah, maybe. What happens if you don't follow the instructions of the spiritual master?
We don't get to the spiritual life.
Yeah, we don't make progress. Get confused. Depressed. Unhappy. Who feels unhappy about their spiritual life? Who feels happy about their spiritual life? Yeah. Humble devotee doesn't feel like he's making progress. But if we follow it, you know, one of the qualities is utsahan nischayat dharyat, confidence, enthusiasm. But if we follow it, we'll feel enthusiasm and confident. If we're not, if we're making mistakes or we're committing offences, then there'll be obstacles. And the means by which we clear away the obstacles is by following this proper channel of devotional service, Prabhupada says here. And if we do that, then the door to perfection is immediately opened. Right? We just have to walk through the door. So when we see the kirtan party, when we get prasad, when we get an opportunity to get a book or you know, some form of association, usually it comes through the devotees for us. That's the manifestation. The opening of the door for our spiritual life is manifesting the association of the devotees. Why? Because the devotees engage in all of these activities. So Prabhupada quotes this verse. Neha vikramana sosti pratyovayo navijyate sopam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Is that right? Yeah. Trayate mahato bhayat. Prabhupada says here, endeavors in devotional service are never baffled. You know, we may commit offenses and that may block our advancement in devotional service. If we remove the offensive mentality, then we could be reconnected to our devotional service. You know, material bank balance is taken away from us. Spiritual bank balance, every time we engage in devotional activities, we're increasing our spiritual bank balance. And this bank balance, you can withdraw on this bank balance and it still increases. That's the kind of return on investment that most people would like. Instead of withdrawing money, when you withdraw money from the bank, actually the money increases. Right? So this is spiritual mathematics. It increases when we engage in devotional service. Nor is there failure. So there's no, you know, devotional, this is what Prabhupada said, you know, devotional service cannot be interrupted. It cannot be foiled by any material obstacle. Except for maybe our obstinance or our laziness. Right, or our attachment to material things. This is one of the reasons why this path of Uttama Shloka Vatayar is so important. Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Pridyantastavya Vadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Right? In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it explains how this practice of regularly hearing. What is it? What's the next verse? Nashta prayasava badreshu, the abhadra, or the inauspicious. Nashta prayasava badreshu, nitya bhagavata sevaya, by rendering service to the Bhagavat, to the devotees, or to the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita. And we render service to the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita how? Hearing. which is an interesting point, comes up later on. Prabhupada says in, because you know, it's interesting, Prabhupada talks about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioning or quoting a verse where you give charity to an ordinary person, then in the next lifetime you get it back. Right? You give charity to a half-qualified Brahmin and then you get it back double. Give charity to a fully qualified Brahmin and then it comes back hundreds of times, thousands of times. And it's kind of, I was reading this last night and I was thinking, what is this analogy that Prabhupada's using here? What does it actually, what does it mean? Because he says, if you hear from a pure devotee, right, there's that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what is it that, sadhu sangha, sava shastra koi. All of the shastra proclaim that the association of sadhus is important, is beneficial, it's the most important, most valuable commodity, association with the devotees. Sadhu sangha, sava shastra koi. Sadhu sangha, labha mantra, sava siddhi hoy. That all perfection can be obtained just by a moment's association with a sadhu, saintly person. All, just a moment. Because, you know, it's not just a moment, because especially if we're hearing from a devotee, then it attracts us. It's very pleasurable. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Swadu Pade Pade. There's a verse in the first canto which says, you know, the association of a devotee, or Susukam Kato Madhyayam. The performance of devotional service in the association of the devotees is very sweet and relishable. Hearing from the devotees is very inspiring. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido ridan, what is it? Satam prasangam mana. I can't remember that verse. Rasanayana kata. You know, it's like medicine for the ears to hear from the. And it's inspiring. One becomes inspired. And then from that inspiration that one gains by the association of the devotees, what do you want? If you leave the association of the devotees, what do you hanker for? You know, so I remember when Chinchiripa and I first started going to the temple and we would be busily engaged in devotional service, and then we'd come home after a day's service at the temple, and we go, phew, that was intense. Now, sometimes the association of the devotees can be quite intense and a challenge. So you think, oh boy, I'm glad, phew, need a bit of a break. Right? But then you think, oh, but then we used to think, oh boy, we've got to go back to the temple. Got to go back and chant Hare Krishna, go to the program, hear the class, and do some service. It's so nice. Then you go home at night and think, oh boy, that was intense. So the association of the devotees is very relishable. And it just means that we want to then associate with the devotees some more. You know, I told this story a minute. One of the first devotees that I met was coming to my house, and he was a blute devotee. He wasn't a practicing devotee, but he told me the story of Valmiki and how he recited the Ramayana and how he became a sage, a sadhu. He was a gunda. and he, you know, basically robbery, thieving, raping, stealing, that was his occupation. But he met Narada Muni, and Narada Muni encouraged him to chant the name of Ram, wasn't it? And he said, I can't do that, I'm too sinful, you know. But he said, okay, well then chant the name of death, because that's what you're dealing in. That's your stock in trade. Mara Mara. He said, okay, I can do that. But Mara 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 became Rama Rama Rama. Right? So he told me that story, and I was very attracted to hearing that. So I thought, I was attracted to the devotees and attracted to devotional service. I used to hear the chanting in the streets. But it was, you know, but hearing that, I thought, oh, I need to find out more about this. I need to find out more about it. So, you know, he's not even a very, you know, in one sense you could say he's not a pure devotee. What to speak of hearing from a pure devotee? To get that opportunity. Then the seed of devotional service is planted within the heart. And that attraction for Krishna is the beginning of our devotional service. Ado Shraddha. You know, that faith that there is a God, that devotional, that there's some potency in the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's a valuable commodity that's received only from the devotees. Can't create it for yourself. So Krishna's mercy descends to us through the association of the devotees. And if we take advantage of that association, then, as Prabhupada says here, a slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. So what this means is that just by a slight association of the devotee and getting that attraction for devotional service, it saves us from having to take birth again in the animal species of life and then being, you know, washed around by the material energy from here to there and wherever, having to go through the different species of life to come back to the human form of life again. And Prabhupada gives this example as a highly, and the potency, we should not doubt the potency of devotional service and its ability to affect us and others. You know, sometimes we become a little blasé about these things because we don't see an immediate result from our chanting of Hare Krishna and our distribution of prasadam. But we need to make the good fortune of others. This is agyata sukriti. But it's still devotional service. And it's very powerful. As a highly potent drug, so Prabhupada gives this example, as a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body. Right? What do they call it? If you want a painkiller or whatever, inject it, boom, then immediately a person feels relief. Well, you can kill somebody, boom, with a highly potent drug. This is how they kill people in America. No hangings, no executions with, you know, firing shot. You know, what do they call them? Firing squad, they inject them. For, you know, this Nimbatal, barbiturates. This is what people like to use to commit suicide. So highly potent drugs administered intravenously acts at once. So similarly, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear, right, nashta prayasa babadreshu, removes the, can act very efficiently. Injected through the ear by the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization, which is a very interesting point. We don't even have to be acting on that platform. We just have to hear it and appreciate it. Prabhupada's saying here. That's the beginning. Of course, it may be a bit of a difference between, there may be some time between hearing and understanding the importance and actually perfecting it, as we know. Right? The process of devotional service is a process of purification, of developing our faith. And Rupa Goswami recommends something that needs to be practiced constantly, every day, and 24 hours a day. Right? So we have to build up to that. Building up to that is the anatta nivritti, getting rid of the unwanted things, the attachments. But here, Prabhupada says, all we have to do is realize the importance, realize the value of devotional service, and then gradually the rest will follow. This realization, for a moment, in the association of pure devotees, like Sukadeva Goswami, prepares one's complete life for eternity. And this is the important point. The sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. So that investment that we make, that time that we spend in engaging in devotional service, it's not like material activities where you put money in your bank account, but when you die, gone. Engagement in devotional service is like putting money in the bank account, and if you're not successful in this lifetime, you get an opportunity to take birth in a wealthy family. Sumatams, what is it? Suchinam, Srimatam, Gehe, what is it? Family of Brahmanas, or in a wealthy family, where one gets an opportunity to again take up devotional practice. So our devotional service is never a loss. There's never a loss. There's always a benefit in that we're investing, we're depositing into our spiritual bank account. And that deposit ensures that we don't have to take birth again in the material world. That we'll get an opportunity to re-engage in devotional service in our next lifetime so that we can perfect the process and attain our original constitutional position, our spiritual position, our eternal position. That's the most valuable investment, the most valuable achievement, because it can't be taken away. So, Prabhupada says, death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. That's the moving of the sun, right? The rising and setting of the sun means that we're dying. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subject to the law of birth, death, old age and disease. But if we engage in devotional service, then we can defeat birth, death, old age and disease by not having to take birth again. If we perfect devotional service in this lifetime, we can perfect it by following in the footsteps of the acharyas, following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, as they've been presented to us by Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, but especially Srila Prabhupada, as the founder acharya of ISKCON. All members of ISKCON basically are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Right? So if we follow Prabhupada's instructions, then we can perfect our devotional service very quickly and free ourselves from this birth, death, old age and disease, the material infection. So, the example of giving in charity, as far as I can work out, meditating on it, you may have another realization of this, but The example is given, if you give in charity to a Brahmin, or if you give in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, or if you give in charity to, what was the top person was a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, then your investment, the donation that you give, is returned by unlimited multiplication in your next life. But more important, Prabhupada says, is a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life. So what do you give? What are you giving? You're not giving any money, but you give time. Right? And time is the most valuable commodity, because there's no amount of money that you can accumulate in order to be able to buy back time. No amount of money. So that time invested in hearing from a pure devotee is that you're giving your time to that devotee. That's all you have to do. Give that time to hear from them. And then one achieves the most profitable return on their investment. Right? This is what, you know, when you're planning a business, then you have to, one of the things you have to look at is ROI. Right? You know what? What's ROI? Yogeshwar Govinda? Yes, this is what you have to go over with your clients, right? What's the ROI? Return on investment. So Prabhupada is saying here, the best return on investment that you can get is hearing and chanting in the association of the devotees. You know, we think, some people think, what a waste of time. You know, you don't get anything. You don't get anything. Go and chant and dance. What do you get? Nothing. What a waste of time. Right? What people think, they see the devotees chanting in the street and they say, what are you doing? You're wasting time. The devotees are thinking, you're wasting time, mate. You think we're wasting time, but we know you're wasting time. Because all of your pursuits will end up with ultimately in nothing. It'll all be taken away. So one has to have some faith. You know, this is why process of devotional service is built in faith. Hearing from the devotees, from the pure devotee, is a means of building faith and building devotional strength in building that faith, so that we can adhere strongly to the process of devotional service and not be distracted by those things. Maya is going to distract us. She's distract. You know, Maya has the. There's the Aranatmika and the Pratyatmika Shakti of Maya. The Aranatmika covering potency of Maya is the one that keeps, you know, the hog happy. You know, we look at a hog and he's lying in, you know, in Vrindavan, you look at a hog and he's lying in all this grey slime. He's got his nose in the stool and his tail's wagging. And we think, oh my God, that's disgusting. You know, at Govardhan one time, I got a picture, and there's this big pile of, you know how there's all the rubbish in the streets in India, such a wonderful culture, but you know they have this nasty habit of just throwing everything in the street. So at Govardhan, there's this big pile of rubbish that the bungies had swept all up and put there, and on top of the pile was a pig. He's sleeping there. He's thinking, wow, this is great. And we're looking at him, we think, oh, this is disgusting. Poor old pig. So that's how, you know, this is later on, this is how the Bhagavatam describes the pursuits of the materialists. It's just it's not very pleasing for the devotees. But sometimes we get distracted. Maya, the Maya Shakti covers over the living entity and keeps them in that covered position. But the potency that Maya has for the devotees is that she pulls down with these distractions. So one needs to hear this the path of hearing. Uttama shloka vataya. Hearing the topics. That's the means by which we build our devotional strength, and we also purify the consciousness so that we can see things as they are. Madham gatva punarjanma na vijjate. So if one is invests in hearing from a pure devotee, then the return that one gets is eternal life, freedom from birth, death, old age and disease. So that's the most valuable investment of time. And one who does that, their investment is never lost. That's the point. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. And then a little footnote at the end, Prabhupada says, a devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. You know, Prabhupada says in the story of Dhruva Maharaj that Dhruva Maharaj, when he had reached the stage of perfection, he actually had a spiritual body, fully spiritualized body. And the residents of Vaikuntha came to him in a Vaikuntha aeroplane. And they invited him to step aboard the Vaikuntha, what do they call it? Viman, is it? Vaikuntha Viman. Doesn't require any petrol. Right? Prabhupada says, doesn't require any fuel. It's not a nuclear powered device or petrol powered device. It's powered by pure spiritual energy. So Dhruva Maharaj circumambulated the Vaikuntha aeroplane, and then he went to step aboard, but then he saw death approaching. But he wasn't bewildered by death. Diras tatra namuyati. This is basic information in the Bhagavad Gita. The change of body, death, doesn't challenge the devotee. Or shouldn't challenge the devotee. So he stepped on the head of death and then entered into the Vaikuntha aeroplane to be then transported back to Vishnu Loka, which is really what he desired. But he wanted a kingdom more greater than his grandfather, who was Lord Brahma. So he eventually got Vishnu Loka. So anyway, Prabhupada says that in the purport that death for the devotee is different to death of the materialist, we could say the kami, in that it's like the cat carrying her kittens. It's the same teeth and the same jaws pick up the kitten, but the kitten in being carried by its mother feels security and feels safe, feels protected, whereas for the rat in the same jaws of the cat, he's petrified because it means death for him. Same activity, but for the devotee, and especially one who follows this path of Uttama Shloka Vartaya, they understand the science of life. And the science of life means what? Death. Just like my our next door neighbour at home passed away this week. And Lo, the lady who lives next door to her, who's also a friend of ours. And, you know, when we travel, then they look after our house and water our plants and stuff. Bring in the mail and look after things. So Lo said to me, you know, she's at the end of our discussion about Jenny's leaving her body, she said, oh, well, I guess that's life. She eats at Crossways. Like, sometimes. Likes Peshadam. So, you know, there's a world of difference in the activities of the devotee. Even though it looks from the external platform he's not getting any material benefit, he's getting all of the spiritual benefit, which is a far more valuable commodity, rarely achieved, right? Rarely achieved. We've got the human form of life, rarely get the human form of life. And in the human form of life, the most valuable commodity is to get the association of the devotees. Because in the association of the devotees, one gets the most valuable commodity, and that's devotional service, which gives us an opportunity to achieve that the most valuable possession, or the matchless gift of eternal life. So I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Getting a bit late. Natural position of the soul. Yeah. Yeah, that's who we are. Not something, Prabhupada says, it's not something, it's not an imposition, but it's who we actually are. Yeah.
My question is what is the difference between the devotees that are not this material person is that whether this Krishna consciousness can protect the devotee from the pain of the death? Like it is said, when the person is dying, the pain is like thousands of the scorpions. It's biting. Whether this Krishna consciousness can protect the person from this
pain? From the pain?
Yes.
From Dhruva Maharaj's example, we could draw that conclusion. There may be some residual karma that we have to burn off, mind you. But Dhruva Maharaj is a pretty special personality. He had a spiritual body before he, you know, he went back to Vaikuntha in a spiritual form. But look, potentially yes, but whether that happens or not for everybody, that's another thing. We can't see also. We can't tell what a devotee is experiencing just by looking at the externals.
The devotees have experienced from brother and our supreme puja, for example, Dadaji, puja, when you are offering, like this part, that's it.
Did he? Yeah.
So that's no pain there, nothing.
That's pious.
Yeah, no pain,
but
pain.
Whether that's guaranteed for all of us, I can't say. I doubt if it will be for me. It is possible. Yeah, it is possible. Just like, you know, my mother-in-law passed away at 11 o'clock in the morning on the last day of Kartik in whenever it was. And she was talking to the nurse. And then the next minute just went fully conscious. And you know, she would have chanted Hare Krishna, I guess. She would have heard the name Krishna. Her daughter was a devotee. But, you know, some piety there. Some piety to leave the body without pain. Right? That's pious. But for most of us, I don't know. And look at Prabhupada's example. You know, externally Prabhupada was apparently undergoing the normal inconveniences of death. Right? Diabetes, kidney failure, basically. Now that would have been, you know, that would have been, in fact the Kaviraj said that Srila Prabhupada, you know, he would have been experiencing serious discomfort. Yet he didn't show any sign of it. Right? But certainly we can understand that, you know, that for the devotee, you know, the material body, it gives us trouble. It's designed to give us trouble. So we shouldn't think, you know, we chant Hare Krishna, then all of that, you know, we don't get any problems. God, you'll be disappointed. But so that, right? You'll be very disappointed. So the proper perspective is we accept the suffering as a token of our karma, of what we should actually get. Right? And that Krishna consciousness or that self-realization, it gives us the strength to tolerate the inconveniences, of which there will be many. Right? Especially, and death is one of them. So it is possible to die without experiencing too much pain. But I think the odds are, you know, there'll be some pain, even if you're a devotee. But that's okay, you're just, as Dhruva Maharaj, you know, we burn off, that's an austerity, right? And we burn off our bad karma by undergoing those austerities. That's how we burn off our bad karma. And if we're following the process of devotional service, Prabhupada says, it's like a fan and it's winding down. And death is the final, is the finish. If we're following, if we become pure. So, you know, we shouldn't think, oh yes, I'll take the devotional service and all of my material problems will be solved. That flies in the face of reality, the science of life. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Janma mritya jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam." We have to see the reality of these things and understand that they're suffering. Yeah. Anybody got any other realizations on this point? Prabhu?
I had a question and some comments. When I first met the devotees, one of the things that used to annoy me, the same thing as to satisfy them, is how confident the devotees were in everything they said, everything you asked them, they had an answer for. And it was very difficult to challenge them.
Mm.
And they used to imagine how much confidence they got from the teachings of the Shri Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Myself, I think that's probably the greatest pain we're going to face, that you know, if we're not completely surrendered to Krishna, like the pain of that attachment is going to be the greatest challenge. So how to deal with that?
Meditate on ne habi grama nasosti pratyavayonava. Meditate on the benefits of the devotion. Like at the end of the Isipanishad, the devotees said, praise, you know, please remember all of the devotional service that I've done for you. And forget any of the other things, you know, forget the nonsense. So we have to have some faith that our devotional service is of some, you know, benefit for us, that we've sacrificed that time, and that Krishna will appreciate our sincerest offerings, and even our insincere ones as well. But I think, you know, really what the Bhagavatam is encouraging us is, you know, follow the path of Uttama Shloka. You know, that dedicate oneself to the hearing and chanting process, especially in later years, so that, and that's Rupa Goswami's recommendation, you know, 24 hours a day, hearing and chanting. And then, and you know, one has to then give up the, you know, what are we faced with? Whatever we've got is going to be taken away. And if we are too attached, then that means that we'll have to take birth again to come back and experience that again. So one has to be convinced. But again, it's not unusual and it's not inappropriate to be attached to the devotees and to be attached to devotional service and to be attached to the place of one's, you know, one's Prabhudatta Desh. So, you know, we shouldn't mistake our spiritual attachments for material attachments also. There's no harm in wanting to be with the devotees, I would suggest. For the purpose of performing devotional service, not, you know, for having a yuck up after the Sunday feast. Or, you know, the game of cricket that we have on Saturday. Oh, I'm going to miss out on the cricket. Huh? But we'll miss the, you know, we can be attached to the kirtan and service. You know, we've spent, at our age, we can look back and we can look at all of the adventures that we had for Krishna and all the things we tried to do. And I don't think that's a bad thing. We can, especially when we were younger, we could do more, we had more energy, and so that's what we did. We threw ourselves into devotional service. That was the confidence of, you know, in one sense, that's the stupidity of youth. But it's also quite valuable. And what was this, that quotation? Unfortunately, youth is wasted on the young. Alright, it's really getting late now, so we should finish. Kantarashimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sura Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.